Welcome back to Ed Games Radio with Len Dawson, formerly of Inside the NFL, and my pick is the best guy covering the quarterbacks around the league, and Sam Huff, who likes to eat them for lunch. Guys, which one was it? Was it a meal for quarterbacks, or was it for, say, middle linebackers like Brian Urlacher? Let's first start with a guy that knows a lot about linebacking, Sam Huff.
Well, I think Brian Urlacher is a throwback when it comes to linebacking. He is the best in the game today. You know, he and Ray Lewis have kept that position going as middle linebackers, and I really love the way they play. You know, they're the leaders of the defense, and defense still wins football games. I mean, you got me up against two great quarterbacks that I never really got to play against because they're younger than me. But, you know, it's still defense. You can't win without defense, you know. And most teams now, you know, they call plays for the quarterbacks. I mean, who in the world could call a play for Lenny Dawson? You know, I mean, it's kind of like saying to Pat Day, who rides a racehorse, say, Pat, you got to ride this horse this way. Well, a trainer that's never ridden a horse, you know, why should he tell Pat Day how to ride a horse? And that's just the way I think about it. The worst thing I think the NFL's ever done is put a radio in the quarterback's ear and make him stick with the play that is called from upstairs in the press box.
Well, the things that you have to learn, and I'm asking my producer here, is Jim Kelly with us yet? Jim Kelly, how are you, my friend?
Hello.
Jimmy, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Are you there?
I am here. And you're joined by Mr. Len Dawson and Sam Huff. We're talking about, we're going to start off, we thought we'd start with the Chicago game last night and thought we'd focus on the decisions that quarterbacks make, whether it's, as Sam Huff talks about, maybe too much information in the air coming through the microphone, or whether, as Len Dawson says, it's about the quarterbacks who can ad-lib like a Manning, whether it's Eli or whether it's Peyton. Tell us, as you look at the way the game is changing, Jim, and especially with Rex Grossman, a guy who's only had maybe 8 games as a starter, really hasn't proven himself, and yet he found a way, despite being hit hard early in the game, to lead that team back. Who impresses you more, a Rex Grossman, or who are some of the other people in the league right now that are showing you what it's all about as a leader on the field?
Well, I think there's a lot of them out there, but I shouldn't say it like that. But the way I look at it, when I watch games lately anymore, I'm just amazed at how many quarterbacks have wristbands with probably 60, 70 plays on them. And I don't know about you, but Lenny, it doesn't matter what the situation is, sometimes I feel that they put too much in quarterbacks' minds. I feel that sometimes you got to let quarterbacks just be quarterbacks and be the athletes they are. Let them on the field, and if they have a chance to get out of a play, let them get out of a play. Put more pressure on the quarterbacks. But I think nowadays they get too much going into their ear, too many things being taught to them, and they have so much to think about that they're worried about messing up instead of just going out there, reading, seeing what they see. And if they think they need to get out of the play, get out of the play. But simplify it to a certain point, because I know that, you know, with the Buffalo Bills, with the amount of plays on the wristbands, I talked to Roethlisberger, I've seen all the plays that are on his wrist too. And even I think I watched it the other day when he was up at the line of scrimmage, almost under the center, and he's looking at his wristband. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at the defense. What are you looking at your wristband for? So, I don't know. You always look at a guy like Brett Favre, and of course I admire what Peyton Manning has done the last few years and the type of quarterback he's become, probably one of the best. And I'm sure by the time he's done with this whole thing, he'll be one of the best ever to play the game, because he gets out of plays when he has to. He's almost like a coach on the field, and I'm sure that the other two gentlemen will agree with that, that when you're a quarterback, you should know the ins and outs of everything that's going on anyways and not have to have worry about somebody sending plays down into your ear every single play.
Talking with Jim Kelly and Len Dawson, as you listen to Jim talk about the key essence of the game, sometimes so much is taken out of the hands of the quarterback. There's Rex Grossman getting nailed with all sorts of blitzes early in the game. They're down. Everybody's questioning whether he's tough enough because of how he played the week before. He throws 3 touchdown passes. This was a character game for Chicago in New York, albeit New York without some of its better defensive players. But how important a win was this, do you think, for Rex Grossman as well as the Bears?
Well, it's hard to build confidence when you're failing. you need some successes, and he had a great deal of success yesterday. Of course, he's surrounded by a damn good football team. And it was interesting what Jim was talking about, looking at your wristband as you come up to the line of scrimmage. I think what happens sometimes with coaches, you know, they want to make sure everything is covered. You know, do we have that double reverse screen pass in? Yeah, oh, yeah, it was in the game plan, but the guy, you know, we never got to run it. But, you know, generally what happens in a ball game, if you can find something that is working, you keep on working it until they stop it, then you go to something else. But I see too many times early on that a play will work in the first quarter, and you say, what happened to that play? You don't see it until maybe the fourth quarter. But when you're talking about toughness in quarterbacks, well, talking to Jim Kelly, one of the toughest that ever played the game, but they're all tough. They all take hits, you know, because you get rid of the football. Doesn't mean that they're going to leave you alone. They're going to whack you. Of course, they've changed the rules here in the last several years to help protect the quarterback. But the name of the game is get to the quarterback. You know, harass the quarterback and disrupt the running or disrupt the passing game. If you're able to do that, you can be successful. And Sam is right about defense. Forget about all the offense. You need a defense to win the big game.
Yep, I agree. You hit that right on. And I know Sam mentioned that. And I mean, just like good example, when we were in the Super Bowls, we didn't win any. But, you know, the defenses, you know, you have to give the offense opportunities. And you know they're going to slow down, but the turnovers, just giving that offense another chance of maybe narrowing that field down so you don't have to go 70, 80 yards every single time. Give them that opportunity to go 40, 50 yards. And I've always been, and then sometimes it's tough for a quarterback to admit that, but I, without a doubt, am one of the guys that definitely think defense is a major part of winning championships.
Well, I'd just say this to you two great quarterbacks, and you know, because I watched you both play, I admired you both. But not being able to protect yourself when you have a guy upstairs who never played quarterback calling the plays for you, he has ever gotten hit by a linebacker, you know, like a Dick Butkus or a Nitzke or me, or, you know, and now you got Sherlacker and all these guys coming in there and hitting you guys. You know, I just don't think it's fair that you can't just say, hey, you know, stay in here, you know, to my fullback here and block that middle linebacker coming up through there. Don't let him hit me. And you can't do that. And that's unfortunate because, you know, the rules makers, these guys are all coaches that change these rules, and these are guys are coaches that are calling your plays, and we can, you know, fake a blitz and come in there or delay blitz and come in there and get a free shot on you, you know, and I don't think it's fair. I think all these rules makers, if they just went out and scrimmaged with a team and get hit, they would change their minds and not call the plays for you all the time.
Sam, do you remember the story about George Ratterman with Cleveland?
Well, I've heard of him, but I did not know him.
Okay, now, Paul Brown called the plays, right? He would send in those offensive guards, and Chuck Noll was one of them. And a lot of times late in the ball game, the guys have to run about 40 or 50 yards to give the play to the quarterback. By that time, he's too tired to make the block. So a preseason game, Paul Brown decided to put one of those radio things in the helmet of George Ratterman playing a preseason game. And so Paul's calling the play, but George had a free spirit about him. So he kept calling. Paul would call a running play, and George would throw passes because he wanted to throw the passes. Well, he came to the sidelines, and Paul says, "What the heck's going on out there? I'm calling plays, and they're not getting called right." He said, "Coach, got a problem with this set here because I keep getting cab calls. There's somebody down on Euclid Street that wants a cab in 20 minutes." That was the end of that experiment.
Well, that's good. That's
I think the
good.
Game would change a little bit, guys, if we took those microphones, those speakers out of the quarterback's helmets. I'm going to read to you from Marv Levy's letter to the Hall of Fame board about Jim Kelly, because there's some statistics here. We don't deal with statistics too much. We like character on this show, but here's what he said. He said his playing abilities, his inspiring leadership, his toughness, his team orientation, his strength of character on and off the field, his dedication, his indomitable competitiveness. And then let's go with some statistics here from Jim Kelly. Versus Dan Marino, 14-7, 3-0 in playoffs. Versus John Elway, 4-2, 1-0 in playoffs. Versus a guy named Joe Montana, 2-1. Jim Kelly, as you look back on your career, you're in the Hall of Fame, and yet people may not appreciate just how well you did against the other great quarterbacks.
Well, you know, that's something I knew about Dan's, but I didn't know about Joe's and John's. I knew to a certain point about John's, but you know, it's always nice when you beat those guys, and, you know, we are friends, and it's kind of interesting because I was just at a golf tournament this past weekend, 2 days ago, and Joe's a very good friend of mine, and we're both sitting at the table, and there's probably Anthony Munoz is there, and there's a bunch of other guys, a bunch of Dolphin guys there, and they said, everybody that's been in the Super Bowl, stand up. So here I am sitting right beside Joe Montana. I feel it because, of course, everybody knows Joe won four, and I lost four, and I stand up beside him, and it's kind of ironic that you bring that up because Joe said, Jim, it doesn't matter. He said, to go there 4 years in a row, he says, that will never be done again. He said, the resiliency you guys had to be able to pull together as a team and being able to go back, he says, you should never, ever be ashamed of that. He said, there's a lot of great players out there that have never even been to a Super Bowl. And that was some of the things that I've always, you know, I look at. It's not so much, you know, going against Dan Marino or John Elway. It's just being able to know that when things are down, it's what you're going to do about in the leadership role. And I always tell people that it's the leaders are the ones that are able to pull your teammates together when things are not going well and being able to pull them out of that so-called funk. So for us, it's just going there. And I know, I don't know if Sam knows Coach Levy very well, but this is one of the ones where I know Lenny knows Coach Levy, but this is one guy that when it came down to it, he knew exactly what to say and when to say it. He wasn't the rah-rah guy that's going to get in your face, but he always had the right things to say at the right time to get us ready for a football game and to get us ready for another season.
And he had the right system. In our last few minutes, let's talk about getting away from all those wristbands and going to that no huddle and what it did for you and how it transformed you and the team into one of the best teams in the last generation.
Well, the thing is, when I called my own plays, it's funny because I think the person that told me, Bradshaw, said before myself called him, he said he was the last one. I don't know how often you called your own plays, Lenny. Did you call your own plays a lot too?
Yeah, I call all the plays.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't understand why they don't do more of that because, for me, I knew where I wanted Andre Reed. I knew where I wanted James Lofton. I knew that Andre Reed was so much better of a receiver when he was inside than he was outside. And Lofton had the long legs, the big stride on the outside. He wasn't quite as quick in the inside. So I knew where to put these players. I knew exactly where to put them and what plays to call. And that's why, you know, my hat goes off to Coach Levy because if it wasn't for him having enough confidence in me to let me call all my own plays, because you can understand, his job security was on the line too. If I screw up, it was his job too. So he allowed me to do that, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have done it if I knew I didn't have number 34 in the backfield and Andre Reed in the outside, James Lofton, a couple Hall of Famers, and of course, one of the keys to our whole offense was our center, Ken Hall, making all those calls. So I was very fortunate. I was surrounded with a lot of great players, but again, I knew what plays I wanted, and when I watched the Bills play or some other teams, certain downs and distance during the course of the game, I know that I wouldn't want to take a chance on a third down in a three or four. I'd rather run a draw play or hand it off when they think you're going to pass and you want to take a chance of getting sacked and getting knocked out of field goal range. Certain times during the game, I knew what I wanted. I had to feel for it, and I'm sure Lenny would tell you the same thing.
Well, we talked to Bubby Brister and Lenny on Thursday, and both of them agree what a big surprise that it's that team around you, being surrounded by talent, and what a difference for Bubby Brister going from my team back in 95, the worst record in the league with the New York Jets, to a team with Denver that had all pros almost at every position. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jim Kelly, Len Dawson, and Sam Huff about who, in their view, is the most complete team. Who's got the team with that offensive line to get the running game going, to protect the quarterback? Who's got the most complete team in the league? You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Channel 122 and Sports Byline USA.